Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast. I am your co-host, Jimmy Traina, alongside my other co-host, the Grambling Brothers, Scott and Gary. Gary, how are you?
I'm good, Jimmy.
Gary, of course, the managing editor of MMQB. His brother, Scott, the managing editor of DRF Sports Forum. Scott, how's it going?
I'm doing very well, Jimmy.
And I know we all had big weeks last week. Scott, you have the numbers. What was the
ascending order. I was 3-2.
Okay. It's a winner.
Jimmy was 4-1. And Gary was 5-0.
Wow.
That's right. 5-0. And he went 5-0 without picking the Lions or the Cardinals.
It was, what were your five last week? I had the Steelers.
Chargers, Steelers, Falcons. Then I had under on the Sunday night game, Packers and Patriots. And then I had over on Rams, Saints. I got to say, Chargers and the over on Rams, Saints are the only ones I loved last week.
Yeah. Jimmy had the Chiefs. Yeah. He had the Texans. He had the Saints. He had the Titans, and he did say that the Titans would win the game outright, and they did. The only one he got wrong was the Redskins.
And I should have. I realized when that game started, the Falcons defense has trouble with teams that can throw it and have good quarterbacks, and the Redskins are not a team that can throw it or have a good quarterback.
So neither of those.
Yeah, they got banged up in that game.
Very dumb pick.
Pretty early. Yeah. But so I had Pittsburgh last week. I had Carolina laying the points against Tampa. I had the Packers. I got that one wrong. And my two totals, I got under 46 in Denver-Houston correct. I got under 55 in Tampa Bay-Carolina incorrect. Jimmy is now 12-3 over the last 3 weeks. That's a very healthy 80%. Me for the season, I'm 20-12 on sides for 63%, 7-6 on totals for 54%. That's a total of 27-18 overall, 60%. We're sitting here in November. Gentlemen, we're doing all right.
Doing pretty good. I wish I liked the board this week, but I don't.
Maybe we'll talk you into liking some stuff.
I mean, there's one game I like a lot, maybe another one, but I'm sure by the end of the show I'll have some best bets for you. So let's get it rolling with the 1 o'clock games on Sunday. We start in Chicago, the Bears giving 6.5 at home to the Lions, total 44. Scott?
Yeah, I'm taking this one. I love the Lions in this one. Betting system that I've given out over this podcast a number of times, and including once going against the Bears, and that was the game they lost outright to the Dolphins. Favorites that are outscoring opponents by an average of 10 or more points per game are 3-17 against the spread since the start of 2014, when coming off back-to-back games in which they allowed 14 points or fewer. That system is rock solid. The Bears are being severely overvalued here because they're coming off that pair of dominant blowout wins, but those wins were against the Jets and the Bills, two of the worst teams in the league right now. I wouldn't be shocked if Detroit wins this one outright. I love the Lions here getting that many points.
Gary?
I love the Lions more.
As always.
This number's off by like a field goal at least. These are two evenly matched teams. Everyone's too heavy on the Bears at this point based on the schedule they played. And look, I'm not so sure they cover last week if not for the fact that they take a ball out of Jason Kroom's hands and run it back for a touchdown, and Terrell Pryor lets a ball bounce off his chest that turns into a turnover. I that one got away early. I'm not sure they blow out the Bills. I don't think the Bears are good. I mean, that's what it comes down
to. I agree with that. I was at that game. I was at the first half of that game. I left at halftime, which was good because it gave me time to fly to Boston, and I was able to make the whole Packers and Patriots game on Sunday night. But the lack of precision across the offense for the Bills is just an atrocity. And we'll get to them later on. But I know what you're saying. I think you just have to throw it out, anything against the Bills. And that's what's proven. You know, the Ravens blew out the Bills early in the season, and then they were somehow favored at Cincinnati, and they lost that game outright by 7 or 10, if I remember correctly, that Thursday night game, week two. So, I love the Lions in this spot.
I disagree with both of you. I like the Bears. Oof. I think they have more weapons. I think they're a better team. The Lions' offense is in shambles, and trading Golden Tate, still don't understand what that move was about. Couldn't score against the Vikings. Couldn't score. The Seahawks came in there. They, you know, the Lions were hot. They had their bye week, and since their bye week, they've been in the tank. I listen, I've been on the Bears all year, and I've said if Trubisky cleans things up, the Bears are really good. He hasn't done that, and they've still been winning. I like the Bears in this one.
That's it. The one thing you'd press the pause button on with the Lions is the Golden Tate trade. Is, I mean, it's baffling, and it affected them last week because it was not a ton of, you know, yes, well, offensive line was bad, but it was a lot of issues with coverage sacks and
Matt Stafford has not been good.
It depends. I'm not going to get into the Matthew Stafford debate. Matthew Stafford is all world.
That's all world.
All world.
If he's all world, then what's Tom Brady?
It's
all universe.
No, it's that's why you hesitate a little bit with the Lions here. Is you just kind of wonder are they a team where the wheels are coming off?
And
after
I think
after the
take the Vikings back. Are back. I mean, I don't read too much into the loss to the Vikings. Vikings are back,
but that was a non-competitive game. I mean, I think you get Khalil Mack back here too for the Bears. He's going to be raring to go after a couple of weeks off. I like the Bears. All right, next game: Saints, hottest team in the league, -5.5 on the road in Cincinnati against the Bengals. Big total here, 54, Gary.
Yeah, we're going to be on opposite sides of this, bro. I think it's the strongest disagreement we've had. Rule of thumb for me is just Bengals against elite teams. I go with the elite team. You got the AJ Green injury, which obviously affects the firepower of the Bengals here, and also a weakness of the Saints, which is giving up those big plays. And then you just you take into account. The Bengals defensively, they just sit back. I mean, they dare teams to drive on them and hope that the opponent makes a mistake at some point. Saints don't make mistakes. I mean, I think the Saints are just going to roll up 35, 38, 41 points, something like that in this one. And an A.J. Greenless Bengals can't give up
no,
with that.
No letdown after the Rams win?
Nah, I don't.
I think so. I think a letdown after that big win. And I'm sorry, I just fell in love with this stat. If you take out games played against Pittsburgh, Cincinnati 8-0 straight up as a home underdog over the past 6 years. Straight up.
It's a good stat.
It is a
good stat. I'll give you that. I think they lose this game.
Home underdog.
Home underdog winning those games straight up.
Yeah.
Except, you know, for the Steelers games, and the Steelers just
I'd love to
number.
Know what teams are in the mix there, though. I mean, have they ever beaten the Patriots? Have they ever beaten?
Well, they're teams that are favored against them, but if you want to talk a little bit, I could probably pull it up in a matter of seconds.
I don't think we have to get that in depth. Listen, it's 8-0. That's impressive no matter what it is. So you like the Bengals?
I do. I like the Bengals. I can't say that I absolutely love the Bengals. I do absolutely love that stat, but look, I had the Saints winning the Super Bowl before the season, and I haven't seen any reason to change that. I feel like this could be a tough spot, though, as a letdown game, as you brought up, Jimmy. And I just feel like here this Cincinnati team is, it's a team that is an above-average NFL team, I will say that. An above-average NFL team playing at home. I think it's legitimate. So the teams that they've beaten there, Ravens, Lions, there's another Steelers one, Denver, Ravens, Patriots, Packers.
They did beat the Patriots.
And going way back to 2012, the Giants. So
I like the Saints here. I do think there might be a little bit of a letdown. Maybe they get up to a little bit of a slow start, but then I think, Marvin Lewis is Marvin Lewis, and Sean Payton can outcoach him and pull away here, and they get the victory, and I think they can win by a touchdown. I think there's just too much good going on. Although, I have to say, I think the Dez Bryant thing could actually hurt them in the long run just because he's such a head case.
Ooh, I agree with that.
But I don't think that happens this week. I think this week they get the win here. I'm down on the Bengals. All right, next game, the Falcons coming off a win in Washington, go on the road, back-to-back road games. Not too far, though. They're giving 5.5 in Cleveland against the floundering Browns. Total, 50.5. Scott.
Yes, I like the Falcons here. We've talked about the Browns. There's not much more to be said about the Browns. They are now 0-13, both straight up and against the spread, in their last 13 November games. The team's an absolute mess. Coaching change, so on and so forth. Gary's got a great stat. I don't even know which side you're taking, but you have that stat about the turnover differential at this point in the season.
Yeah, I'm stealing this from a friend of the MMQB podcast. This is Renee Buechner, who tweets out a lot of good stuff. Follow him at RNBWCV. You might also know him as Rainbow Cave. Those of us in the industry who always get his graphics here. But his stat, this is since 2000, 9 games into the season, turnover differential of plus 11 or better. There is one team with a losing record, and that is the 2018 Cleveland Browns, who are not only losing record, 2-6-1. They're 4 games under 500. No one has been under 5. No one's been at 500 besides the Browns.
They're a mess. I mean, they're a mess. And I called it last week when I picked against them with the Chiefs. They have a ton of problems. And, you know, when you don't have a head coach, it's a big problem.
They haven't had a head coach since yeah. the Reagan administration.
I was going to say Marty Schottenheimer.
Yeah,
not even.
No, I was going to say the head coaching change is the only reason I was kind of talking myself into maybe taking the Browns on the points here. I ended up swinging back to the Falcons though, and I think the Browns have gotten all the breaks they're getting this year, and they're still terrible.
I'm not ready to get back on the Falcon bandwagon, but I'm certainly not ready to take the Browns. I do love the over 50.5 in this game. I don't think you'll see much defense in Cleveland on Sunday. All right, Jaguars coming off the London game and then a bye week, go into Indianapolis to face Andrew Luck and the Colts. Colts -3, total 46.5, Gary.
So yeah, I really like Jacksonville here. Again, sometimes you just have to step back and say, if you saw this line 6 weeks ago, I mean, the Jaguars getting points against the Colts, you jump all over it. And the Jaguars, you know, look, they weathered their Bortles storm. And no, Blake Bortles is not a superstar all of a sudden, but he sort of hit rock bottom like he did last year, and they have a chance to sort of come back from it here. Under Doug Marrone, against second half of the season, against teams scoring 24 or more per game, they're 6-0 against the spread. I also went back and looked when the Jaguars have gone London then bye, because they didn't do the bye last year after London, because the NFL is just stupid about that stuff sometimes. When they go London then bye, they've done it 4 times in the past. They have been underdogs each time. They've covered in 3 of those games. They've won outright in 2 of those games, and I think they win this one outright here.
Scott?
No denying Jacksonville has been abysmal of late, right? 0-4 straight up and against the spread while scoring only 46 points during the month of October. That's actually only 6 more points than the Jaguars allowed in the 40-7 blowout loss to the Cowboys in mid-October. But teams have been beaten by the spread by 41 points or more over the prior 5 games are 28-5 against the spread since the start of 09 when facing an opponent that's gone over the total by 34 points or more in the last 3 games. The logic behind that is that a team like the Jaguars at this point are undervalued, and when they're going up against a team with a weak defense, there is some value here. And I feel like when you look at Jacksonville, coming off the bye, and Gary gave you some of the numbers, I like them a lot here. I like them to win the game outright.
I like the Colts. I think the Jaguars.
This is 12-3, man. Too over the last.
You're so
3
contrary
weeks.
Today.
I think to me the Jaguars are like the Browns. They're a mess. There's infighting in the team. The quarterback stinks. The coach is out of his league. I saw something today where one of the players on defense said he wasn't playing. Doug Marrone said, "Oh, I didn't know that." The Jaguars are. A lot of problems there, and I think the Colts get this one only laying a field goal at home.
No doubt, Jimmy. I know things have changed, but yeah. Let's be honest. I mean, the Browns were 0-16 last year, and the Jaguars almost made it to the Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean,
but
there's...
this year the Jaguars have been anything but a playoff totally. Contender. Forget Super Bowl. I mean, they're a mess.
They are.
And
they are. That's
and
why I like
listen,
them.
Listen, Bortles is they trading Fowler. I don't know what that was about. Their defense is not the same. And their offense is devoid of weapons. So I like the Colts at all, -3. All right, we go now to the Chiefs. Giving the biggest number of the week, 16.5 points to the Arizona Cardinals. The total here, 49.5. Now, it's an interesting game because when the season started, Scott was all about the Chiefs. Gary was all about the Cardinals. And now they go head-to-head. So, Scott, why don't you take it away?
It's so many points to be laying in an NFL game. It's the reason we didn't want to lay that many points when the Vikings were playing the Bills. The Bills won it outright. The Cardinals are not winning this game outright. I'm staying away from the game. If I had to play it, I would take the Chiefs, and I would lay the 17 points. This feels like 34-13, something along those lines. I do think it's something that will go a little under, but that's the way I'm looking at this one.
No, teams getting 16.5 points this year, 1-0 against the spread. So just keep that in mind.
1-0 straight up and against the spread.
Can't beat a trend like that.
I will. I'll just say, and I'm taking the Chiefs in this one.
Wow.
I know.
Your team getting 16.5.
My heart is actually saying Chiefs in this one because I kept on looking at the numbers. Chiefs. Look, I like the fact that the Chiefs, like I said a couple weeks ago, they close out games by scoring points. They don't do it the Bengals style where they say we're going to punt every time and then put our safeties 40 yards back and hope you run out of time. They pile up points. I will say I looked at the Chiefs' schedule this year because I wanted to see how many times they had won by 17-plus points, and it's been once. They beat the Bengals on the Sunday night by 35. Everything else has been 16 points or less for their margin of victory. I lean Chiefs. I like the fact that the Cardinals have an offensive coordinator who is showing some level of familiarity with his players, unlike Mike McCoy, it took him 5 weeks to be like, David Johnson? I never heard of the guy. What do you do? So I think the Cardinals will trend up, but like I said, I'm going Chiefs.
If Gary Grambling's not betting the Cardinals this week, who's betting the Cardinals this week? That's all I got to say.
That's a great statement.
I love the Chiefs, and I'll save for what I have to say later. Let's go to one of the pigs here at 1 o'clock. The Jets without Darnold giving 7 to the Bills without Josh Allen. It's had some appeal at the beginning of the season if you thought you could look at two rookies with big arms. Instead, you're going to get Josh McCown against, I don't know if it's Matt Barkley, Nathan Peterman, Tyrell Pryor, who the hell knows. But the Jets are giving 7 to the Bills. The game is a home game for the Jets. Total, I haven't seen a total this low all year, I don't think. 36.5 for the total. Gary.
Yeah, and we should mention at the time of taping, it is unclear who will play for the Bills. Looks like it's going to be Josh McCown for the Jets. I was looking forward to a Peterman Darnold.
They can't put Nathan Peterman out there again. They just can't.
They did it last week.
Yeah,
and
how'd that go?
I'll say that
not great for the first half I saw.
They asked him to basically play Tyrod Taylor ball last week, which he did, and somehow, Tyrell Pryor has a ball bounce off his chest for an interception. I mean, I believe this is Buffalo News who wrote this, and again, it was not Peterman was not as bad as the numbers would suggest last week. They had three turnovers that were squarely on the skill position players, but Buffalo News wrote something like, when the ball comes out of Nathan Peterman's hands, bad things tend to happen. So
that was a great meme last week on Halloween. There was a picture of Nathan Peterman holding a big thing of candy, and it said, "Everyone pick 6.
Oh, that is pretty good.
Yeah.
Good work, Internet.
Yeah.
I was going to say that Sam Darnold was worse last week than Nathan Peterman.
Oh, he was terrible.
I think you'd have to go back to Peterman against the Chargers last year to find a quarterback performance as bad as Darnold in Miami last week. They're saying foot injury and moving on. This is a roundabout way of saying I think both these teams are atrocious. I think they're almost equally atrocious. No one, I don't know if we'll see a team as bad as this Bills team in the next decade. Jets giving a touchdown, that's not right. So I'm leaning Bills in this one. But, look.
I want to be clear for the listeners.
Yeah.
Gary Grambling.
Yes.
Managing editor, MMQB.
Senior editor. Yeah.
You're willing to put your money.
Yeah.
On Nathan Peterman.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now I might bet a kidney on this game.
Wow.
No, I mean, look, I am not betting this game, be clear. I'm leaning Bills. Is it Peterman? Is it not Peterman? Peterman outperformed Darnold last week. I guess that was my that was the point of this Shakespeare-esque soliloquy that I just delivered in defense of Nathan Peterman. But
all right.
Too many points. Jets should not be giving a touchdown against anyone. But you don't bet the Bills because the Bills could turn the ball over 7 times on any given Sunday.
Scott,
too low a total in this game. This still is an NFL game. These offenses are not necessarily going to move the ball, but there's going to be enough mistakes in this game, turnovers, deep in team's own territory. Because of that, I like going over 36.5. I mean, this game could easily be 20-17 or 21-17. Sounds like a low-scoring game. The over ticket still cashes. That's the angle I have here.
Yeah, and I think with McCown there, I think that's a much better play for the Jets, especially for an over. So, I don't even know what to say about this game. I do think McCown, I'd lean Jets because of McCown.
Gary hogged all the time on this game.
No, it's all right. I didn't have much to say about it, believe me.
I've got to start my Nathan Peterman podcast.
He loved this game. Peterman was so bad. Even on the fumble, it was because of a bad pass. The guy had to gather the ball. Yes, he was partly the blame. The lack of precision is unbelievable. It's unfathomable.
Let's not go nuts here. No one has ever tucked the ball away and had it ripped out of their hands, and it was because of the bad pass. If it was any other quarterback who threw the pass, is my point.
No. Wouldn't be, if the pass was on the money, he wouldn't have to worry about. I think guys don't know where the ball's going. It's like a bad knuckleball pitcher, right? You're just kind of like, you're catching, and it's like, where's this ball going?
And Gary leans Bills in that game. All right, the Bucs giving a field goal at home to the Redskins, total 51. Scott.
This is a tough game to call. I would take the Redskins in this game. I've given up on the Bucs because I think the Bucs have given up on the Bucs. And the one game they've won since that 2-game winning streak to start the season was an overtime game against the Browns. We've already talked about the Browns. I don't see how you could bet on the Bucs here. If I had to play it, I would go with the Redskins.
Yeah.
No, I'm going Bucs on this. I'm leaning Bucs on this.
You should parlay Bucs and Peterman.
By the way, I love how much we talk about Peterman when he's probably not even going to play on Sunday.
He's already been ruled out.
Who knows?
No, I'll just
if he gets ruled out, it's because of this podcast.
I'll just make this point about the Bucs. We know they can score points. That's not an issue. The defense is the issue. What's the issue with the defense? They give up big plays. They give up big plays in the passing game. You know, Washington's not only coming in, they lost both their starting guards, including Brandon Scherff, who's an absolute stud, so you downgrade the run game. But even with their full complement of players, you would look at the Redskins and say, well, they can't take advantage of this Bucs defense downfield. No Paul Richardson as well. That's their top deep target. This is just a bad matchup for Washington here. They don't have what it takes to take advantage of this horrific Bucs defense. And you never trust the Bucs that much because you don't know if evil Ryan Fitzpatrick, who just has a goatee, or maybe just shaved out the goatee part of his beard, and that's how he does it. But you don't know if he's going to flop. But I'm going Bucs in this one.
I think the Bucs showed me something last week because they were getting killed by Carolina, and they fought back there and fought hard. They didn't give up. Fitzpatrick, I guess, just they played different when Fitzpatrick's there. If I don't love the game, I would never touch it. I guess I would go over maybe if I had to make a pick, and maybe Bucs. All right, the next game, the Patriots on fire rolling, given 6.5 in Tennessee. Titans at home after the win Monday night against the Cowboys, total 46.5. Gary, where are we going here with the Patriots?
I like the Patriots. I think you keep rolling with the Patriots in this one. I think the Titans, same vein as the Bengals, sort of a team that's not going to hang with the elite. And I'll talk about it later. I do think the Titans are underrated to an extent this year. But, touchdown spread is not an issue for the Patriots. So I go New England in this one.
Scott.
I like New England here for a lot of the same reasons. And as regular listeners know, I tend to pick against the team playing on Sunday that had been on the road on Monday. I've given all that. That's such teams are 10-15 straight up, 9-16 against the spread since the start of last season when playing a Sunday game after being the Monday road team. I like the Patriots a lot here, and I like the Patriots going into their bye.
Yeah, I think any time you can get the Patriots giving less than a touchdown, you take them. It doesn't matter who they're playing or where they're playing. That's just, to me, a formula. They're giving a 6.5, you take them. They're rolling right now. James White out of the backfield, Josh Gordon. Brady's playing well. Defense is strong.
Looks like Sony Michel might be back as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, finally. So, yeah, that's a Patriots for me as well. All right, 4 o'clock games now. There are 3 4 o'clock games on Sunday. First one we've got are the Chargers. Everyone's on that bandwagon. It filled up to the rafters last week. No room anymore. It's packed. Chargers bandwagon is full. They're giving 10 points against the pathetic Raiders in Oakland. Total 50. Scott.
10 points is an awful lot to lay on the road. Not in this case. Raiders are an absolute joke at this point. Oakland 1-10 against the spread since the start of last season against teams that complete at least 61% of their pass attempts. I think the Chargers are just going to pick apart that woeful secondary. They're going to win this game. They've got to win the game by 2 touchdowns. I can't angle this any way where I see a reason to side with the Raiders.
Yeah.
No, I'm with Scott on this one. I love Chargers against the bottom feeders of the league, and maybe outside of Buffalo, you don't get any further to the bottom than this Raiders team. The Raiders defensively are basically what the Bills are offensively. They just don't have NFL caliber players on that defense. So, you know, the way the Chargers are going and the way they can deliver big plays, I think they roll up enough points to cover a double digit spread.
Yeah, I mean, Scott said it. I mean, you give 10 on the road is crazy, and I think you got to do it here. I don't see how you could possibly pick Oakland.
I would go so far as that it would be irresponsible, I think, to put money on the Raiders this weekend.
Or any time that matter for the season. All right, the Packers at home giving 10 points to the incoming Dolphins. Total 47.5. Packers coming off that loss against the Patriots. Scott.
I think the number is about right here. If I had to play the game, I would take the Packers. I just think Miami here is a bit reeling, and these are the kind of teams that they tend to lay down for in recent years. Miami 0-6 against the spread on the road since the start of last season when facing a team that's allowing an average of at least 350 yards per game. So what that tells me is Dolphins just don't take advantage of bad defenses, and certainly with Brock Osweiler, you cannot make a case that they have the ability to take advantage of the Packers' weakness, which is its defense. If I had to play it, I'd play the Packers. I'm not a huge fan of laying that many points because I don't think the Packers are that good. I was at that game Sunday night. I was a bit disappointed in what the Packers were able to do because the Patriots had been giving up yards and points through the air to opposing teams, and the Packers weren't able to take advantage.
The fumble did kill them,
yeah. But the fact that they did fumble and then that was it was surprising to me. I really thought the Packers, before the fumble, I thought the Packers were going to win the game outright. And then after the fumble, I really thought it was a 50-50 game.
Right.
And it just turned out to tilt the entirely other way. So because of that, I'm not too bullish on the Packers, but they are the team I would play in this game.
Yeah.
No, I really like the Packers in this one. The only thing that gave me a slight bit of pause is last time I loved the Packers was that Monday nighter against the 49ers when they had to scrape that one out. I do like the Packers a lot in this one. I think there's an overreaction to the Packers, just like there's, you know, we talk about the Bears. Bears are coming off wins against the Bills and Jets, and everyone's saying, oh, Bears are back. Packers were a running back fumble away from beating the Rams in L.A. and the Patriots in Foxborough, possibly beating the Patriots in Foxborough, possibly on both those games, obviously, because a butterfly effect and all that. But I really think the Packers are still one of the better teams in the NFL. I think they're in for like a, you know, one of those Aaron Rodgers second half runs where they win 7 of 8 here, and giving 9.5 to a Brock Osweiler team. I mean, look, Dolphins got all those turnovers last week against the Jets. That's why they won that game. They've failed to cover in their last 10 when they've gotten plus four in the turnover margin. So I really like Green Bay in this one.
I've been waiting all year for the Packers to have like that vintage Green Bay home game 38-10. It hasn't happened. But I do think that – I think after the heartbreaking loss against the Rams and then the loss last week to the Patriots where they really dominated that game until the fumble, the Packers are due now to come home to Lambeau and have like a game where they just kick ass. And I think this is the spot here with Osweiler coming to town. I think this is where the Packers get – now, I disagree with Gary on this standpoint. I don't think the Packers are that good. I don't think they're one of the better teams in the league. They are flawed. They're very flawed, especially on defense. But I think the Dolphins are the right team to come in here for the Packers to get healthy against. The Rams now try to bounce back from their loss to the Saints at home. And we say that loosely because they really don't have a home. Giving 10 points to the Seahawks, total 50. Gary.
I really like the Rams in this one. And obviously, I think we all really like the Rams when they played in Seattle earlier this season, and then they won that game. They didn't come close to covering the big spread. I'm not high on the Seahawks for a couple of reasons here. One is I think their turnover margin is a little bit unsustainable with the style of defense they play. I think if you have an elite pass rush, you can force turnovers. I think the pass rush causes that chaos to force turnovers. Seahawks have they have Frank Clark, and that's about it in the pass rush. So I think it's a little bit inflated that they're. I mean, what are they at this point? They're plus nine in turnover differential. They've been really efficient in the red zone, and I don't think it's an offense that really profiles to be really efficient in the red zone. So I think the Rams are a whole lot better here. Last time they played, Brandon Cooks went out before halftime. The Rams had some issues in the red zone themselves. But I do think the Rams have more than enough to roll up a big win here in Seattle. And you look over the years, this Rams defense has really had its way with this Seahawks offense.
So I like the Seahawks. I just think the line is high. And the Rams played, the last several weeks, they played nothing but close games. Every game of theirs is close. And the Seahawks are a team, forget the talent, they try. That's what you're looking for at this point in the season. Not the most talented team, but they try. The effort's there, so I think the 10 is a lot. Scott?
I agree the 10 is a lot. I wouldn't go so far as to best bet the Seahawks in this spot here, but if I had to play it, I would take the points. And you're right, Jimmy. The last six games, the Rams are 1-4-1 against the spread. That includes it's actually 1-4. They pushed against the Vikings, and then since the start of October, starting with the game at Seattle that they won by 2 points as a 7.5-point favorite, they've won by two, they won by three. They did blow out the 49ers, and that is the outlier. That's the one of the 1-4. And since then, close games, right? 1-2 against the Packers, and actually not a close game. They lost by 10 to New Orleans. So I've tapped the brakes here on the Rams in recent weeks, and I think getting this many points is I think it's too high a spread.
Yep. All right. Now, Sunday night, NFC East battle. The Eagles coming off a bye off their London win against the Jaguars. A lot of time off. Giving 7 to the Cowboys, total 43. Cowboys coming off that loss to the Titans on Monday night, short week for Dallas. Extensive rest for Philadelphia. Gary.
Yeah, I think there's a huge overreaction to Dallas and when they lost to the Titans by 2 touchdowns in the Monday night game. You got to remember that they got into the red zone 3 times and didn't score. They had a missed field goal. They had an interception, and then late in the game they had to go for it on a fourth down and didn't get it. I don't think they were overmatched, and like I said earlier, I think the Titans are better than they get credit for because they're not good offensively, and people sort of overlook them. People overlook the Titans even when they're a really good team. So I don't think Dallas should be getting a touchdown against anyone, especially inside the division. I know a lot of people are going to point to the fact that the Eagles blew them away in their one meaningful matchup a year ago, but that was a game that was close. That was a game the Cowboys led 9-7 at halftime, and it was at a time when they were in shambles on the offensive line. They were coming off that disastrous Adrian Claiborne game, and it was sandwiched by the Chargers blowout on Thanksgiving.
Elliott
was out of that game. Yep. So it's I think this is a back and forth game. I think this is a decided by a field goal type of game.
Scott,
I would take the Eagles if I had to play it because of the short week with the Cowboys. the Eagles coming off the rest. And Eagles, when they've had the extra week of rest, 16-3 straight up in their last 19, 12-6-1 against the spread. I just get the sense that this is where the Eagles start to kind of regain that Super Bowl form. I think they got off to a bit of a false start this year with Wentz being injured, Alshon Jeffrey being out. I feel like that this is kind of the beginning of
Golden Tate there now.
Yep, Golden Tate is there now. I feel like the Eagles could roll in this game. I wouldn't play the game, but I would take the Eagles at anything, really anything less than 8 points.
I'm not going to bet it. I would go Cowboys for one reason. It's a formula game, and the formula is this. There's not one reason to bet the Cowboys, so I'll take the Cowboys. I mean, everything here says Eagles. Everything. Extensive rest. We're not talking about a week. We're talking about, they had the London game on that Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So they have the bye week, Golden Tate, Eagles looking to put it all together now for the late push, Dallas offense in shambles. They want Jason Garrett out. Everything says Eagles. So for that reason, I'll take the Cowboys because that's how Vegas is able to stay afloat.
Can I say Cowboys coming off the Monday night game under Jason Garrett, 0-7 straight up, 1-6 against the spread.
That's a scary stat.
That is scary because what you read into that is these teams under Garrett have not been prepared coming off that short week. And again, going against a team that's coming off the bye and a team in that atmosphere, I mean, how fired up and is that crowd going to be on Sunday night?
They got, if I'm not mistaken, they got three turnovers against the Titans in that first quarter or first half, and they couldn't capitalize on anything. I mean, the Cowboys are a mess on offense, so.
They are.
But I would take them just because I think when it's that easy, you get screwed. Speaking of screwed, we're all screwed Monday night because we've got to sit through. I mean, this is
good segue.
Here's why this podcast exists, because the only way to get through the Monday night game is to bet it. If you're not betting it, good luck if you're watching it. Niners giving 3 to the Giants. Games in San Fran, total 44. Nick Mullins, maybe that's one reason to watch. I don't know. Scott.
Can you believe, would you have ever imagined we'd be sitting here, even as recently as 2 weeks ago, saying that the best reason to watch a Monday night game is because of a guy named Nick Mullins, an undrafted guy out of Southern Miss? But he is the only reason to watch this game besides from putting action on it.
Yeah.
Giants 1-9 against the spread since the start of last season in games where the line is between +3 and -3. Their only win against the spread was a 2-point loss as a 2.5-point underdog in Tampa Bay last year. This team does not compete in the games that are supposed to be most competitive. I cannot take them because of that.
Yeah.
Giants. I have no. Someone somewhere is gonna wake up from a coma with a ESPN on the TV and think it's August and this is a preseason game. I do like the over in this game. I will say that, but you can't get a read on it. You don't know if the Giants are going to show up again this year, and you don't know what Nick Mullins is at this point. I mean, yes, he torched the Raiders and it was cool, but it's also the Raiders.
Right.
So
I like the Niners. I just think the Giants are done, and that offensive line is so bad. I think, you know, Niners at home, I think they're pumped up to get some wins here. They're coming off a win, looking to put a little streak together. I like the Niners only laying a field goal. I think the Giants are that offensive line might be the worst unit in the game. So I think for that reason alone, I'll take San Fran. All right, that wraps up the week for the handicapping. It's now time for Best Bets. Scott, how many you got for us?
You know, I'm going to go with 5 again.
Okay.
That's what I went with last week. And I'm starting with going all the way back to the beginning of the show here. I am taking the Lions. I do like the Lions an awful lot in that game going in Chicago. I am also going to take as a side here, I'm going with Jacksonville. I do think that they will they'll win the game outright. And those are actually the only two sides I'm giving. I'm taking 3 totals to round it out. I've got the Bills-Jets over that low total of 36.5. I am also going with the under in the Chargers-Raiders game.
50.
That's 50. And then I am going with the under in Jacksonville, Indianapolis.
46.5. Gary, best bets?
Yeah, I got six sides and one total here. I am also going with the Lions, and I'm going to go getting too many points in Chicago. I'm going with the Saints. That number keeps on growing as long as it stays under a touchdown. Go with the Saints in Cincinnati. Packers, despite the big number, I'll take them at home against Miami. Jacksonville getting the points in Indianapolis. I will take Rams against Seattle. I think they roll up a big number against the Seahawks here, and I think that the Marcus Peters getting torched thing has got to stop at some point. And I'm going Sunday night. I'm going with Dallas. I think Dallas is getting too many points in a divisional game at a time when they are troubled, but not a disaster. And for you folks who are going to sit through Monday night, I'm taking the over 44. Like Jimmy said, Giants problems the offensive line. 49ers are not very good in their pass rush. They're DeForest Buckner in the middle, and that's it. So I do think the Giants could put up points tonight.
It's amazing how emboldened a man becomes when he goes 5-0 on his best bets, right? All of a sudden, every bet is a best bet.
Everything I said was a best bet this week.
I have to say, I didn't think Giants-Niners would be anyone's best bet this week. I got three for you. Chiefs minus 16.5. Listen, best case scenario for the Cardinals, they get two touchdowns. All right, that's 14. That means the Chiefs have to score 30. Are they going to score 30? No, they're going to score 40, so they cover. Over in the Falcons-Browns, 50.5. I don't think either team can stop anyone's passing game there, so I like that. And Packers minus 10, they're due for a big Lambeau win. So those are the three for me to wrap up Week 10. Before we say goodbye, which we usually do right here, next week, Week 11, very quickly, 5 seconds from each of you, prediction. Line next week on Rams-Chiefs Monday night and total.
That's a neutral site game.
That's
Mexico City,
right?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Let's say Rams giving 4. And let's say, that total is going to be...
highest total this year has been 59.5.
In the thin air. Let's go 63 for the total.
Scott?
61.5 for a total, Rams by 3.
I'm going to say pick 'em 66. All right, that wraps up week 11. Excuse me, week 10. Jumping ahead to week 11 because I'm excited for Chiefs-Rams on Monday night. That wraps up week 10 in the NFL. Good luck. We'll see you next week right here on the MMQB Gambling Podcast.
Have a profitable weekend, everybody.
Tip of the hat to Albert, another strong edition of MMQB. Did you know your favorite team has a daily podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network? Steelers fans, we have you covered with Locked On Steelers. Cowboys fans, it's Locked On Cowboys. And Chiefs fans, it's Locked On Chiefs. You get the picture. Search Locked On, your favorite team. Search on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts for Locked On, your favorite team. Or tell your smart speaker to play podcasts Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.